We continue the Shir in Sichos Haran. Rabbeinu Zal's sayings. We are on Sif Tzadik, paragraph 90. Rabbeinu Zal says Da. Again, a reminder that Da means Rabbeinu Zal notifies us an item of information that is unknown until this revelation. It is also recorded that Rabbeinu Zal says Da for something which he himself learned not in this world and not in the Elam HaYitzira, the world of angels, and not in Elam HaBriya, the world of the heavenly throne, but a notification, an item he gleaned from Elam HaTzilus, top world of the four levels of creation. This statement of Menonel says Da, which means this is the absolute truth, fact. Even if it sounds a little unusual, the fact is, that every person, without exception, before going to sleep, which means before falling asleep at night, a person goes to sleep at night just before falling asleep, that last moment, that last second before he falls asleep, all the souls of his late departed relatives pass by before his eyes. Which means even if his eyes are closed, he still could see these souls pass by. It's not just his relatives, but even himself in his former lives, his previous lives on earth. Every person is a Gilgul, or a Gilgul many times over. So all the original parts of his soul, dating back to the time of creation, dating back to the first person, Adam HaRishon, who was Kollel, who covered or encompassed before he passes away. The second before a person dies, while he is still alive, he sees also his relatives before him. Now this is something that sometimes you may catch this. That is, a person standing by the bedside of a tzaddik, the second of his passing, you could see a shine, a light, in that tzaddik's eyes, and you can see there's a revelation there. He sees something. And this means that every person, too, just before he dies, sees the souls pass by before him with greater clarity, and also all the parts of his own soul. The relation between these two is, the Gemara says, that sleep is exactly 1/60th of death. A person goes to sleep and he falls asleep, it is like 1/60th of actually dying. And therefore, since this is a part of death, that is why the same experience takes place before falling asleep as before dying. However, this seeing of the souls, we're speaking now about ha'avoda, which means just for a fleeting second, they pass by, the relatives and the parts of the souls, so that the speed with which they pass by is so great that it's only a shadow. A person sees, but does not know what he sees. He does not realize what is passing by in front of his eyes. This is because of the speed with which all these items pass by in front of his eyes, and that's why he cannot grasp clearly what he sees. Now, secondly, the Benedict says, to reveal an important point, this is accepted by most, that before a person dies, it is written that everything flashes by before his eyes, his whole past, his lifetime, and more so, the souls of his relatives who come by to watch, to witness, to stand by, as another soul is added to their ranks. What happens afterwards, whether he merits, deserves being with them or not, that depends upon the trial. But they come to stand by at the time of his passing. When a person dies, those relatives are present. Point is, though, that not everyone sees them clearly. This depends upon how great the person is. There are people, many, no doubt the vast majority, who even at the second of their death, when definitely these souls stand by, they do not see them except with this speed that is like the case of a person just before his sleep, depending upon, naturally, how great the person is. So, in most cases then, even when a person is about to die, and when these relatives come by, it would seem that he has the power to see them clearly. Fact is, that even then, they are not seen clearly by most people. And in case of before going to sleep, of course, no one sees them clearly. Everyone has them in front of him. Every person, without exception, has the relatives come down, because this is a fraction, a part of death itself, therefore they appear. But they cannot be seen because of the speed with which they disappear, and that is why it's something which no person can actually report. Except, again, of course, a tzaddik who is so great that he sees them and remains with them. Because a great tzaddik is one who visits heaven during his sleep, cases we have with the Baal Shem Tov, with the Rizal. Now, so we note this item. We note the similarity between sleep and death to a degree. We note the fact that every person does have the, not just his relatives, but the parts of his own soul there at the time of sleep, and there too at the time of death, yet not each person is alike, is the same, in detecting them and grasping the understanding, having a clear vision, a clear view of them. Now it is clear too, the Beit Hazal is bringing this point, this item, is to teach us a very important, a very vital lesson. What is a person's duty at that moment just before his death? What should be uppermost in a person's mind if his mind is lucid, if before dying he is ill, he is about to pass away, he knows that it's a matter of minutes before his soul will leave, what should be in his mind? Naturally, confession. Tshuva is a special tefillah that is said by a person about to die. Tefillah is vidui. The Gemara says it's a whole long prayer. But at least the Gemara says if he doesn't have time, if they see that death is imminent, at least get that one sentence in quickly. Dehemi sosi kapora al kolav anisai. Hashem, let my death be a kapora, forgiveness for all these sins I've ever committed. This shall act as a confession and as a statement of repentance. And then he dies in purity. So this is the obligation of a person just before death, if his mind is clear, if he's physically able to say these words of confession. Beit Hazal tells us now how important it is, since there is so great a similarity between sleep and death. We can understand now when the Din says, and the Gemara tells us, that a person before going to sleep at night should be among the Mishlim, among the Bali Cheshbon, among those who are good accountants. Well, before going to sleep, will take a clear account of their deeds, at least for that day. Review everything that was done that day. Here is my ledger. Today I've committed so many sins listed. I've done so many mitzvahs. I give thanks to Hashem for helping me to do these mitzvahs. And I now say to Hashem, I want to repent for those sins that I did. I want to clear my books, clear the account. I have only a pure account. Mitzvah should remain, sins to be erased. And how? I'm going now through the act of partial death. And before death, we say, Dehemi sosi kapora. I say now to Hashem, let my sins be erased, because I hereby perform the act of confession and repentance, just as though it was before death. A clear account of myself. A person should know that this is not just a statement. This is fact. We submit, we hand over, we surrender our soul to Hashem for safekeeping during the night. And we pray that Hashem will return it to us. At least that part of the soul which leaves us, the major part of the soul, leaves a person during sleep. The person is asleep, he is left only with the very mind of the lowest part of the soul itself, the animal part of the soul. But the main part of the neshama itself leaves the body for safekeeping in heaven, Safekeeping, of course, means for a trial. Why does the soul leave the body? Because every night, the person's neshama must stand trial in heaven. Every night he goes through a similar trial to that main trial, which covers his whole lifetime, after he passes away. So since his soul is about to stand trial tonight, therefore it is understood. I must repent, I must clear myself before that trial, just as a person before death must clear himself before his soul is about to stand trial for his entire lifetime. This is what the Menazel stresses with these words, and this is the Musa that a person should be zechut to take to mind, to heart. The fact that morning and night, this thought should be prevalent in his mind. Menazel says the zikaron of Kedusha is, when you wake up in the morning, remind yourself that there is a real life beyond this one. Main life is in Olam Haba. This life is very temporary. Make the best of this in order to reach the main life there. Before going to sleep at night, the same thought. Think about the tachlis, the goal, the reason for the mission we have on this earth, and correct that which was done wrong. Is zecher to come before Hashem perfectly pure. Benedel says the mitzvah that is above all, as the Mishnah says, Talmud Teda Keneget Kulam. It's one mitzvah that outweighs all other mitzvahs. That is the study of Teda itself. Of course, through the study of Teda, only then can a person perform the mitzvahs. So all mitzvahs are dependent upon the limud Teda. Besides the fact that the study of Teda enlightens a person, enables him to perform the mitzvahs, the study itself in itself is a major mitzvah. Besides the knowledge you gain from it, the aid it gives you in getting to be able to abide by the mitzvahs, to perform them properly, you also have a mitzvah in the learning of Teda. The mitzvah that is so great, so vast, that it's more than all the other mitzvahs, because where do you find a mitzvah that is so great in volume, in abundance? Every word of Teda is a separate mitzvah. So what is the key then for a person to get this great mitzvah? Study of Teda is open for everyone. Here you want Teda, you have bookcases filled with Sfarim. Every one of these Sfarim is a part of the Teda. What is the key to that closet? What is the key to the Sefer, to open the Sefer and learn? The key is one word, and that is Hasmada. Hasmada means each person can open a Sefer. In order to learn it, let's say a Sefer which he understands. One person takes a Chumash, one person takes a Gemara, one person takes the Farshim, different types of Sfarim which a person can understand. If he doesn't understand it, he has the same Sefer in English, which is the same, or translated, which is of the same value. You're still studying Teda. But that's not the key to the study of Teda. The key is a person can open it and then stare at it and then go off into a dream, daydream, or just close it, or not even open it in the first place. Why? Because the key is hasmada, which means inner desire, an inner love for Teda, which propels him to the study of Teda over all other desires. How do you develop a desire for Teda that is so great that you would select this over everything else? You have a chance to see an interesting show, or to go to a fancy restaurant, or to lie down and take a nap. You're tired. And yet, a person would rather open a Gemara and learn Gemara. How is that possible? How do you get this hasmada, this craving, desire, this feeling of pleasure in the study of Teda that is better than any other pleasure out? We know that Teda is more precious. Each person knows it. But he doesn't have the appetite for it. How do you develop an appetite? Benedel says in one manner only. And that is by watching a person, watching his tongue. Never to say an evil word, lashon hara, a bad word about any Jew at all. Not just certain people, but any Jew alive. Now, basically, there are 600,000 Jews. Basically. 600,000 basic neshamas. Some of these souls are divided, broken up in different parts, so we have millions of Jews. Basically, we consider the Jews as 600,000 people. Why? Because they conform to the 600,000 letters in the Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. These 600,000 letters correspond to each one to a different soul of a Jew. Now, Benedel says that we find in Shir HaShirim, Kulach Yofa Rayosi Umum Imboch. King Solomon the Wise, or King Solomon, of course, in the Shir HaShirim, the Gemara says, does not mean King Solomon. It's called that, but this is the name for Hashem. Shlemai means Melech Shah Shalom Shalai, the King of Peace, which is Hashem. Hashem says, you, Kulach, who? My bride, Kaviyachal. Shir HaShirim is the Chosson speaking to the Kala. The Chosson says to the Kala, you are complete. Your beauty is complete. The entire Kala, entirely, completely, is one of beauty, which means there is no fault whatsoever. Mum Eibach, there's no defect in the entire Kala. Every one of the Eivarim, every one of the organs, every part of the body of the Kala is perfect. Without a fault, all are beauty. Where there is this beauty to perfection, the Ahava too is perfect. And naturally the Chosson has fallen for this Kala. His affection for this Kala is complete. There's nothing lacking. But if there is a Mum, if there is a defect in the Kala, a Chosson cannot fail but to notice this defect. We're speaking, of course, about a defect in character, mainly, primarily. Defect in character and action. If there is this defect in the Kala, Kala has a bad temper, Chas V'Shalom, or the Kala is selfish, Chas V'Shalom, or any other type of defect, then actually the Chosson cannot help but harp on that defect, or feel deeply that there is something lacking in this Kala, and he cannot feel that full affection for this Kala. It's impossible. So this is what it says in Shir HaShirim. Benel says, the Kala we find, the Gemara says, is Teda Tziva Lono Meshe, Moyosha, Gilas Yake. Moyosha means engaged. Engaged to the Jews. The Jews and the Teda are engaged. The Kala is the Teda. So when the Teda is complete, when the Teda is perfect, Teda is Hashem Tamimo, Teda Hashem is complete to perfection, then the Ahava, the devotion, the affection is perfect too. The desire for this Kala is so great that it overcomes all other desires. The desire for the study of Teda is complete and perfect, if the Teda is complete. When is the Teda complete and perfect? If the 600,000 Jews are perfect, if they are all, in every respect, lacking nothing, without any defect whatsoever, then this reflects in the Teda, and the Teda too is perfect, and there is a strong bond of Ahava. If a person would speak against any Jew, that means he is taking a letter of the Teda and showing this letter is not perfect, Chas V'Shalom. The Teda is now not perfect anymore, the defect. What happens now? This subtracts from his Ahava for the Teda. How can he then have Hasmada, desire to learn? He doesn't like the Teda anymore. And if he speaks against many Jews, and groups of Jews, sects of Jews, this subtracts more and more from his Ahava for the Teda, and so therefore he gets to a point where he has no desire at all for it. A person can develop a dislike for a Kala, Chas V'Shalom, or for something which he doesn't like, and this dislike grows, becomes intense, and becomes a hatred. So a person can have, Chas V'Shalom, a dislike for the study of Teda, where he is, Chas V'Shalom, repelled. And the reason for it is that in his eyes, the Teda does not possess beauty. And why does he not appreciate the beauty of the Teda? Because he has spoken against the Jew, and thereby brought out a defect. He has made a psula of the Teda itself. Abinadab says if you want to develop a true hasmada, a true desire, a love for the study of Torah, watch your tongue. Never speak against any Jew. Let every Jew be perfect in your eyes. Torah itself will be perfect too. You'll have this perfect hasmada. This is what the pasuk says, Torah Hashem Tamimo. The Torah of Hashem Tamimo is complete in its beauty and its perfection. The Shivas Nafesh, then it gives the satisfaction to the soul. And the person, he has that craving desire for the pleasure of the company of the Torah. He wants to be in the Torah's company, just like a kala of sheer perfect beauty. The answer then is to avoid Chas v'Shalom speaking Lashon Hara against any Jew, even if there are problems among Jews, even if there are conflicts, disputes, where you feel that surely these are wrong. These Jews are doing wrong, and these Jews are doing still worse, and everybody in the world is bad, except, of course, yourself. That's understood. You can always find some kind of fault in each person. Baal Shem Tov says, the Mishnah, this is mentioned very often, and this is very important for a person to take to heart. To hear it is one thing, but to absorb it, to act on it, is what's most important. The Mishnah says that the Negoim, the spots, the stains of leprosy, are to be judged by a Chacham, by the Kohen. And even the Kohen himself can judge the leprosy, these stains, these evil spots of every person. Kol hanegoyim odam raya, every one of these stains, the goyim, a person can see. He can observe, he can judge. Chutz minigei atzmi, except those of his own. His own stains, his own bad spots, these he cannot see, he cannot judge. Hashem Tov says, Kol hanegoyim odam raya chutz, every type of fault that you see outside of yourself on somebody else. If you see a fault existing by a person, you see that fault, know that it is minigei atzmai. It's something that you yourself possess. You see a fault in someone, it's because you possess that fault, and that's why you see it. If you didn't possess that fault, you wouldn't see others possessing it. You wouldn't know that it exists. So therefore, a person should be very careful, guard himself against speaking against any Jew, in fact, against thinking badly about a Jew. And if he feels that this is a problem, because after all, there are so many Jews who are doing wrong, committing sins, am I allowed to refrain from speaking against them? That Nosenzel's words should be our guide. Nosenzel says that speaking bad about a Rasha, a Jew who is wicked, this is brought in din, this is brought in Pirkei Avos and the Mefarshim, that this is permissible. So tell me I cannot speak about a Jew, fine. But there are many who are showing evil, wicked Jews. The din says I could speak about them, I am free to speak the worst type of Lashon Hara and slander about them, this is permissible. Nosenzel says that mitzvah you can keep. We don't want that mitzvah. If we're looking for mitzvahs, we have much better mitzvahs to perform. The mitzvah of speaking bad about a Rasha, we'd rather leave to others. We'd rather not have that mitzvah exist. Because that kind of a mitzvah can only do harm to a person himself. The real mitzvah is to be done the kavschus, as Avinadab says. You see a Rasha, he's very bad. In your mind, look for his good points. Search for them. Find them, speak about them, and in speaking about them, you'll find suddenly that the person is not as bad as you thought. He really is good. After all, you thought this person was bad, he's a Machal Shabbos, and he eats unkosher. What can be worse than that? Look for his good points. Here's a person who is so sincere in his Ahava for Eretz Yisrael, his Ahava for another Jew, his respect for great Talmidei Chachamim. He'll go out to battle, to fight in the war, to save a Talmud Chacham from going out. Keep the Talmud Chacham home, I'll go out and fight for you. Here's a quality that is greater than anything found even among the more religious ones. And why does he break the Shabbos? Because he never studied, he was never taught. A Jew like this is willing to sacrifice his life. Imagine if he was taught about the importance of Shabbos, what he'd be like. He'd sacrifice his life for Shabbos more than we would. So how can you speak about him? You find that with this, looking for this good point, the bad points have suddenly disappeared completely. Beinel says this is the true course, the true direction of a person's thoughts about others. This way, he will elevate these same people, that will not be considered a shoyim anymore, himself. He himself will also find a new desire for Torah and for mitzvahs, and in the eyes of Hashem, he will be praised, be considered one of the highest possible, because this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to see good said about his people. These that we think are the Shoyim are still the children of Hashem. Hashem wants them protected. He wants them defended. This was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, who defended the Jews throughout all their acts in the desert. Whatever they did that was wrong, he fought to defend them against the heavenly court. When we say that in heaven there was a decree against the Jews with the golden calf, and with the desire for meat, and all the other times they did, they revolted, they rebelled, this decree in heaven to hurt them, to harm them, to send a plague, to destroy them, against which Moshe Rabbeinu fought, he was not fighting against Hashem Chas Hashem. He was fighting against the angels in heaven who are angels of vengeance. He was fighting against those angels who want din, harshness. It is Hashem's desire to have chesed and kindness only. And therefore Hashem likes, Hashem wants that Jew who will defend others and who will bring down, who will invoke the kindness of Hashem from heaven rather than harshness. So again, with this, a person can elevate himself, a person can elevate the entire Jewish people, the person can acquire a stronger bond between himself and the Torah HaKadosh. Beinel says when a person is born, naturally there is a neshama, a soul that comes to the world. Now, a person is born, he is an infant. This infant has very little brains, very little mental power, and very little physical power. But the soul is endowed with special gifts. You find people who are talented that in their youth they begin to perform special feats which others cannot do. Some are talented, they can play musical instruments at a very early age, while others can struggle for years and never develop this talent, this knowledge. Some have very sharp minds for mathematics. Some have different types of talents like art or whatever is a person is born with. Now these talents, of course, come with the soul. It is the soul that is endowed with these talents, blessed from heaven. And the soul is what gives it, transfers it to the body in gradual stages. Now, each soul, therefore, comes with a certain talent or a certain power. Beinel says that if a soul comes to the world and this soul has a certain talent or a certain power, then that kind of talent, that kind of power becomes famous at that moment in the world. For example, if a soul comes to the world with wisdom, chachma, a sharp mind for understanding deeply mathematics or science, anything which requires deep thought, then at that moment there are new revelations in the scientific and mathematical world, and this type of chachma becomes more precious at that moment. Or if this soul is endowed with royalty, one who is destined to become a leader, and the moment this person is born, there is something about leadership that begins to shine, elevated in the world itself. There are new leaders that are formed. There is something about malchus, kingdom, royalty, that begins to take precedence over other items. Now this is something which of course is gradual. A person finds that as he grows, as he becomes older, he develops physically and mentally too. Mentally, and these talents he's endowed with. The three stages in a person's life, three stages, that means there's one third of his life, is the stage of growth, when he continues to develop. The second stage is a stage of passiveness, where it's a stage where he just stays status quo, without moving forward or reverse. The third stage of life, when a person reaches an older age, begins to regress, to go backwards, to decline, the years of decline. These are the three stages in each person's life. Of course, a person in his youth, when he's developing, if he puts his mind to it, stresses with all his might the opportunity to study, because then his mind is sharpest. He can gain much more then than at any other time during his lifetime. Gemara says that the child's mind is so, has the power of absorbing so clearly, that a child can learn in one day more than an old person, old man, can learn in a year. Whatever the older person learns fades away from his memory very quickly, whereas a child's learning remains deeply absorbed and possibly for a lifetime. So this first stage of a person's life, which is the first third of his life, now for example, of a person's age, he's destined to live until the age of 75, and until the age of 25, he is in the era of development. He keeps on developing. His peak is at the age of 25. 25 to 50, the second stage, the time when he remains stat, which means he could add to this, of course, but not at the rapid pace, the elevating pace that he has till 25. Third part, from 50 to 75, though he thinks that he's covering more ground, he actually is going backwards. He is shrinking mentally, physically, of course, too, and it's the time when there is this loss. Till the time he just disappears completely when he passes away. And this, the minute says, we find exactly, correspondingly, in the moon. The moon, too, the nature of the moon is that it begins, it is like birth. The moon is born the first day of the month, or the Mela, which is, could be the day before the first day of the month. And this Mailat, the birth of the new moon, continues on until the middle of the month. Then it remains stat for a while. Then it begins to decline in size. It goes up until, what is the movement of the moon? It keeps, what makes it grow, actually? The size of the moon is stable. Doesn't grow or decline in size. But the light, the reflection the moon receives from the sun changes. As the moon comes closer to the sun, there is more light reflected on it. And then when the moon faces the sun completely, it receives the direct light of the sun, and we can see the entire moon. The moon in its entirety, the part that faces us. And then as the moon turns away from the sun, and it's further in orbit, the moon begins to decline in its size, the amount of, that it receives, it reflects from the sun, until the last moment it disappears completely. The end of the month, and of course, a new moon is born the next day, a few hours later, that is, the same as a person, too, passes away. The Gemara says, generation goes, generation comes. It's a pasuk in Kehelis. Which means that a generation dies out, a new generation is born. Don't say new, the Gemara says, but say Eisedel. The generation that died now is reborn. There is a constant galgal, a wheel that rotates, that revolves. And this revolving of the wheel means not galgal wheel, but gilgul, reincarnation. The generation that died is the same one that is now being reborn. People keep coming back again and again. This is the beginning stage, middle stage, and the final stage. And because, too, the waters, the oceans, the tides are guided by the moon. Therefore, we find that just as the moon develops from the first day of the month to the middle of the month, then declines, exactly so, too, are the tides. Beginning of the month, the tides begin to rise. Middle of the month, when you have the highest tides, and then the tides begin to recede till the end of the month when they are completely passive. They start again because it's the moon that guides them. This is one of the marvels of creation. How it is the moon that determines the waters, the turbulence of the waters of the oceans. This, of course, all leads back to the person himself. The person should know how to guide himself during his lifetime. How much stress he must put on his actions in mitzvahs, in gaining mitzvahs, and why the Zohar Kodesh says, mentioned many times about the Pnei Seva Tokum. The Pnei Seva Tokum. Simple translation means, before an older person you shall stand up. Before old age you shall rise. Because before old age means before you reach old age. Don't rise. Don't do tshuva, repentance, when you become old and decayed, deformed, or weak. The real tshuva, the real repentance, the real time for you to rise, to strive for great heights in Kedusha, is before you reach old age. If they say, well, before you get to old age, that's the time that counts. Especially doing battle against the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara says it's a person who becomes very old, and then says, now I will overcome my desires. I will not eat any more fancy stuff. I will not go out to places that are tempting. Very good, the Gemara says. How admirable this is, that a person can overcome these desires when he doesn't have any desire left in him. The time to show this heroism is when you're young, when the blood is fiery. Then, if the temptation is so great to overcome it, then this is a sign of strength, of power. They say we're talking. This, the Rebbe says, is something that we should be guided by too during our lifetime. We should be zecher to fulfill our mission in the three phases of life. The Rebbe says there is a light that shines, a special light, a heavenly light which shines through 1,000 worlds. There are 1,000 worlds, and this light shines through these 1,000 worlds. And it requires a very great chacham, very great Talmud chacham, a learned tzaddik, who has the power to divide this light, this thousands. We now have thousands. Divide these thousands into hundreds, because when we divide it to hundreds, they are small enough for each smaller person to receive. When it's 1,000, it's too big for a normal person to receive this light. When it's divided into hundreds, then a lower person of a small, lower category can receive and absorb this light too. What is meant by this light of 1,000 worlds divided into hundreds? And it says, first of all, which chacham, which wise person is capable of dividing this light of 1,000 into hundreds? This is only a chacham who is a nekeim v'netei k'nachash. The Gemara says there is a chacham, a true talent chacham is one who is so vengeful that for anything wrong that is done, he will take revenge like a snake. That's the wording in the Gemara. A true Talmud Chacham is one who will take revenge like a snake. Then the Gemara says further, if you see a Talmud Chacham who is that kind of a vengeful Talmud Chacham, then Chagrehu Amasnecha, bind him to you, hold on to him tightly, stay close to him. Isn't that dangerous? If he takes revenge for anything, he's liable to harm you. Talmud Chacham could say one word of curse and a person could die. Yet the Gemara says, if you see one like that, bind him to you and don't let go. Because he is the one that can divide this light of 1,000 worlds into hundreds, and he will give you the chance to absorb this light. slightly the sobering. Plato says, let's analyze this in a simplest sense, not that we can really understand it fully, because Plato says that the only person who really understands this is Mashiach. Mashiach knows how to do this, divide this light. Therefore, Mashiach will really bring us the light of the Gula. That's understood. Still, to a degree, in a smaller sense, what can we gain from this? The light of a thousand worlds. The word thousand is Elef or Pella. Pella means a marvel, a wonder, something which is above our conception, is too deep for us. Divide this into hundreds. This tzaddik, who is able to do it, meaning that he can bring life to that which is dead. You get a person whose mind and heart is dormant, a person who does not learn, a person who does not understand. He can bring life to this person because this tzaddik has the power of Tchias HaMesim. How? By bringing this thousand into hundreds. Now the word for hundreds is meos. Me'ah, hundreds, me'os in Hebrew. The word for thousand is aleph, alfin. To put an aleph, and with that aleph, make me'os, that means you have the word first, is mavis, death. The word mavis, put the aleph into mavis, you've created me'os. This tzaddik can convert these thousands into hundreds and bring life, hundreds, instead of death. He gives us light to the person. Nosodal says, explaining this, is what is this item about the tzaddik who is revengeful, who takes revenge like a serpent, like a snake? Is that something to boast about? A person is like a snake? Nosodal says, the meaning of this is that what was the snake? What is a snake? A snake is one who will do harm. He will swallow a large one, a python will swallow up an animal, or he will strike at a living being and kill it with his fangs. Does the snake get any pleasure at all out of this strike, out of this blow? Nothing whatsoever. There is no pleasure for a snake at all in eating anything except earth itself. So there's no hana, no pleasure for a snake whatsoever. And this Talmud Chacham, who will take revenge against a person who does wrong, will take this revenge without seeking any pleasure at all. Usually, revenge is sweet. The person desires revenge because he gets some pleasure out of it. But a true Talmud Chacham is one who does this revenge for the sake of the honor of Hashem. Not one iota of desire for revenge by himself. Not one drop of pleasure does he gain from it. This is the true Talmud Chacham, who is that great because of this, that he can bring life to the dead. And therefore, this light, which is so great, that it lights up in a thousand worlds, which means that it reaches the highest, deepest recesses of heaven, which has in it the power of Tchias HaMesim, can bring life back to the dead, bring them back from the dead, and give them new life, rejuvenate them. Those people who have lost the desire for spiritual life, those people who have wandered so far away from the Torah, from Hashem, who need this Tchias HaMesim for themselves, need a tremendously powerful tzaddik, one that can go so high in Kedusha, that he can bring a new life to these people. This is the light of Gan Eden, called the light of the thousand worlds. Of course, the highest light, because Pella, marvel, wonder, Pella stands for the Keser, the crown, which is the highest of all the spheres. The tzaddik can rise up to this top, to Atik. Atik is the source, Ayin, the source of life, and he has the power to bring this life to those who have spiritually passed away. This is the power of the tzaddik emes. This is the benefit, the gain that a person has by chagreho masnecha. Bind this tzaddik to you. Go out and seek. Find this tzaddik. Attach yourself to him with a strong bond, never to let go. If you do that, you're assured the tzaddik will guard you. He will guide you. He will protect you. It will elevate you throughout an entire lifetime and forever afterwards too. This is the key to a person's eternal life as neshama. We should be zecher through true emunah. We come that much closer to the tzaddikim to bind ourselves to the Rabbeinu Zal. We should be zecher to merit having the Rabbeinu Zal take us close to him and bind us to him. And for this, we should have the zechus of seeing with our eyes the coming of Moshiach Tzidkenu, who is the tzaddik who can give this light of the geula to the entire Klal Yisrael. Amen. Amen. Amen.